day, so much busyness has happened in my day that I'm ready for the day to be over. I'm ready for the day to be finished. But it's critical for us to remain focused in this season. In considering the matter of focus and the matter of being circumspect, I was drawn to a passage in the first chapter of James about being doers and not just hearers. Being doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. And some years ago, I actually wrote an article out of this passage that I titled The Genesis Face. Some of you probably and likely have read that article. The Genesis Face. What I'd like to do is I'd like to read the passage from several translations to begin and kind of start us down a track. I'll begin with the King James Version, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway or immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now I want to read two more verses. If any among you seem to be religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Now, I'm going to read just the beginning of that passage from the Kenneth B. Weiss translation, New Testament. It says this, moreover, keep on becoming doers of the word. I want to emphasize, keep on becoming doers of the word.
Is that still James 1:19?
Yes. It's actually, it begins with 22.
Yeah,
James 1:22. Moreover, keep on becoming. Now, I emphasize that and I repeat that because sometimes because of the tense of the particular word that we're reading in the scripture, we lose part of the meaning because the tense isn't necessarily communicated by the word or words or in the reading. For instance, but be doers of the word doesn't emphasize to us the tense, because the tense accentuates and underscores the fact and the reality that we should keep on becoming doers of the word. It's not enough for me to have obeyed last year, to have done the word 5 years ago. I must, regardless of, you must and I must, regardless of our maturity, our experience, or any of the above, we must continue to become doers of the word. I want to stop and make this remark. Every revelation that God, you've heard me say this before, every revelation that God has ever given you was given to you in order to bring you into an experience. If it did not bring you into an experience, It only served to make you more religious. So over time, what happens, if I'm not a doer of the word, if I am a hearer only, it sets up in me. Now watch this, because I promise you, you're already dealing with people today that will match what I'm about to say. We ourselves at times have an experience that will match what I'm about to say. If a person, me, you, or anyone, has a habit of being a hearer only, what will set up in that person is a culture of dishonesty. If a person, you, me, or any of us, or any believer, has a habit of being a hearer only and not a doer of the word, eventually in that person's life, me, you, or any of us, there will set up a culture of dishonesty. And I want to say this to you. When we're dealing with people that are bogged, that are entrapped, that are imprisoned in a culture of dishonesty, it is not unusual for them to not be able to distinguish the truth from a lie. Not uncommon at all. They will often, and remember now, the generic they, the total they includes me, and it includes you. This culture of dishonesty is described by James as deceiving yourself. James warns us that if we did not hold to a habit of doing the word that we hear, we will deceive ourselves. And to the person who is deceived, the lie is just as valid as the truth is. The lie, in fact, can oftentimes and is oftentimes their version of the truth. And it becomes, over time, it becomes a strong hold. Now, we've been kind of zigzagging and weaving in and out of the theme with regard to strongholds and those things that impede and stall and slow our growth and maturity. And this is one of those critical keys. Now, everyone's heard children before, so we're all good, right? We're just as good as we can be. Hey, and the kid, hey, Olin,
yes, sir.
Robin, the kids are good.
Yeah, they are.
Don't worry about it. Don't let it be on your mind.
Amen.
Hear the word of the Lord. Become, we need to have a habit of continuing to become hearers and doers of the word. This is so critical that I felt that we should be reminded again today. If this doesn't hit some area of your life, your heart, your experience today, then certainly you're dealing with people that are caught up, that are entrapped, that are sidelined because of these things. You're probably already dealing with people today. And this is one of the ways that you could actually help them perhaps, but certainly for yourselves, identify the condition. Be doers of the word and not just hearers, deceiving your own selves. So there's a deceit, there's a deceiving that occurs in the life of the person who is not a doer of the word. And to repeat, eventually, there will set up in that person's life a culture of dishonesty. Let me tell you something. In the house of God, there's no place for a white lie. In the house of God, there's no place and no such thing as a good lie or a little lie or a white lie. If it's not the truth, it is a lie. And I want to encourage you to hold yourself to the strictest of standards with regard to telling the truth. We are people of the light. We are people of the day. We speak the truth in love. Does that mean we say everything we know? Does that mean we tell everything we've heard? Absolutely not. It's one of the worst kinds of failures, oftentimes, in the body of Christ. You know, one of our good friends said, "No blabber mouth sits next to the throne." I don't know about that. I haven't done an inventory of who's sitting right next to the throne of Jesus, but I know what Jesus said. Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. Anything more than this will come to sin. If you know me, you know one thing at least about me. I tend to be quiet. I tend to be a listener and an observer. I'm not insecure. I'm not withdrawn. But I've come to a place in my life that it's really important to me to know what the Father is saying. I'm not so much interested anymore in what I have to say. I want to know what the Father is saying. And I find that in a sea of words, the word of the Lord can be easily lost. So I'm waiting. I'm making space for, I have this place made for Jesus to be able to lay his head. So I'm waiting for the word of the Lord. And by that, I'm not talking about, thus saith the Lord, yea, yea, the Lord would say, yabba dabba do, yippee-i-yo-ki-yea. I'm saying, as a way of life. We would all be shocked, stunned, if we ratchet up our practice of waiting while we listen. In every situation, behind the executive desk, in the grocery store line, a kind word, a gesture, as having been prompted by the Holy Spirit, could make a huge difference in a person's life.
Amen.
And that's the way God has called us all to live. I want to read this passage now from the Message, the Peterson Message Bible. Don't fool yourselves into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in a mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are. Let me ask you a question. Do you know people today? Do you know people right now that you suspect fall into a category of not knowing who they are? Believers. Now, I'm talking actually about Christians. Believers. And look, knowing who I am, knowing a person knowing who they are, certainly has to do with gifts and calling and anointing and all of those things. But more so, it has to do with their sonship. The key, the core, the center, that the only thing that will empower me to hold is sonship. Knowing that I am a son of my Father, and my Father is my Father. So when the scripture talks about the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, some have suggested that that is a calling with a having to do with a certain gift or a certain gifting or a certain anointing or a certain this or a certain that. To all of those things, I say no. The high calling to me is clearly Son. It is genderless spirit. Son. It is a representation of the Father. Jesus was the exact, watch this, get it? The exact representation of the Father. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. The exact representation of the Father. You've heard it before, I'll repeat. Amen. That word, translated exact representation, is C-H-A-R-A-K-T-E-R, character, where we get our English word character. Jesus was the character, the exact and perfect representation of the character of the Father. You and I are called with a high and a holy and a heavenly calling to walk in, to exhibit, to manifest the exact representation of the character of the Father.
Amen.
That's the high calling. Mm-hmm. Son is the high calling. So, again, continuing to read. The word goes in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in a mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are, what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain. I kind of like the Peterson method. I don't want to be a distracted scatterbrain. But this person is a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from the godless world. Widows and orphans. What is a widow? What is a widow? A woman without a husband by way of decease. A widow is a woman without a husband by way of decease. Her husband has died. What is an orphan?
A father.
A fatherless person. So what is the scripture saying to us? That God is intent on having sons. God is intent on being our Father. And God is intent on putting us and setting us into a family.
Amen.
We gave a message some months ago about the matter of the spirit of adoption. And we talked about in that message the cultural the issue of a cultural thing in Jewish culture called a legate, L-E-G-A-T-E, and we talked about how that this reality has to do with a person who would step up in place of, for on behalf of, or for the sake of a widow, would step up and defend the family, would step up and support the family, and so forth. We have a defender. We have an advocate. Jesus Christ the righteous. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. You know, there was a day in my life that I really believed I had to defend myself. There was a day in my life that I really believed I had to defend myself until I learned that I have a defender. There was a day in my life that I believed that I was my own advocate until I learned that I have an unbelievably wonderful advocate who lives to make intercession for me, who never sleeps, who never slumbers, who never lets down his guard, who's always watching over me, who has my best interest in his heart every moment of every day for all of eternity.
Amen.
I have such an advocate. You have such an advocate. So don't be so quick to defend yourself, because you may be left with your defense. Oh, shoot, I just ought to say that again. So don't be so quick to defend yourself. For if you do, you may be left with your defense. God likely has something greater and higher and more beautiful and wondrous in mind than you do. Don't be a person that's reactive. Don't be a reactive person. Be a person who responds to what God is doing in the moment. Not what they did or what you want to do because of what they did.
Amen.
But get some space in your spirit between you and where you're standing. That doesn't even sound real, what I just said.
So
but it's one of the most real realities imaginable.
That's right.
Get some space in your spirit between where you are and what's going on in the moment. And let God come in. You've heard me tell the stories of my own experience. When the man said, I can't hear anything you're saying. I can't receive anything from you. I said, why can't you receive anything from me? And he said, because you don't have any love. Well, you know, I thought, no, wait a minute. I don't have any love. I'm loveless. I have no love. But you know how long I stayed there? Fraction of a minute. I didn't even count. I didn't even reach around to get tent peg building material. I had no intention of homesteading there. So I was waiting to hear. I have no love. So here's what I've done. And I don't do it always. And at times I don't do it perfectly. But I'm committed to a habit of saying, what about it, Jesus? You know, David was cursed. David was passing by with his men, and a man, by the way, began to curse David. And David was surrounded by his mighty men. What did one of them say? Do you want us to take him out? David, we'll get him. You say the word. We'll get him. What did David say? Leave him alone. He might be what, Tom?
Perhaps the Lord has told him to curse me.
Perhaps he's speaking for the Lord. So on that occasion, I thought, this man could be speaking the word of the Lord. So I said, what about it, Jesus?
Yeah.
What about it? How about it, Holy Spirit? How would you want me to respond to this man? And this is my experience. You have your experience. But likely we have parallel experiences. When I said, how would you like for me to respond? I knew what to say to the man. Now, had I opted to defend myself only seconds earlier, it's likely I never would have heard from the Lord.
And you'd have to apologize.
Paul.
In my case.
Oh yeah, Paul. Yeah.
No, that's right.
So, I knew what to say to the man. So he was down on one knee and I was sitting in a chair. and I just got a little low. You know, it's good to get a little low. So I just got a little low. And I said, hey, man, I know one thing. I know I don't love like Jesus loves. I'm sure about that. Will you pray for me? Now, see, I didn't know to do that before. Very often, God is waiting to see if you're going to commit to His answer before He gives it to you. God is waiting to see if you're going to commit to His answer before He gives it to you. Otherwise, why would He burden you with it? Why would God, please bear with my folly, why would God curse you with His word if He knows you're not going to do it? So I waited, and then I knew. And then when I did what I did, that the thing that was in the man in front of me manifested. But that's okay. I was loving the man. I wasn't dealing with the thing. I was loving the man. Let me tell you something. That was one of the most poignant experiences in the Lord I've ever personally witnessed. When I waited to know what the Lord would have me say, in that pause, in that time, in that little span, I had the clearest sense that the atmosphere over us filled up with angels and with demons. And the power of response was in my hands. If I respond like, you know, get you 1,000 WWJD bracelets. I don't care. Get them. Buy them by the gross. They'll sell them to you. Buy them by the pickup load, train load. Wear them on every member of your body. Get them around your neck. What would Jesus do? You know, bumper stickers and road rage. What would Jesus do? You know, one guy said to me, I think he was going 110 at the time. I was in the vehicle with him, 105 maybe. And I said, hey man, you know what? You know how fast you're going? Spirit-filled believer. You know how fast you're going? He said, yeah, but I don't need a radar detector. I've got the Holy Ghost.
That's all stars now, off.
Hey, I'm a little slow on the uptake, but some of this stuff is stupid.
Yeah.
He was in the vehicle. He was praying. He was. It wasn't him. We were in the vehicle together, and we were both praying for God to have mercy on us. And at the time, you know, just get us back to Texas, Jesus. You know, get us, Lord, if it be your will, get us back to Texas in one piece. This guy's praying. But He showed us something about that brother and his thinking. Deceiving yourself. I don't want the word to go in one ear and out the other. And so this matter of being doers of the word is not just, it wasn't just critical for you in the 80s or the 90s or around the turn, you know, of the century. This is a critical matter for your life every day. How many times have you had this experience? You just knew to do something. And you're in full, you know, you're in full motion going in this direction, and you just know to do something, and it's going to require you to stop and turn around and go back. And the next 3, 4, 5 steps, there's something going on inside of you saying, stop, no, I've got to go, stop, go, stop. Right. Go, and then you stop, and you turn around, and you go and do the thing, and when you do,
the power of God, the face of Jesus manifest through your life, through that simple little obedience. Wasn't it you that told the story about coffee?
No, that's not me.
That's not you? Somebody told the story. No, I remember now who it was.
Leroy.
It was Leroy. About getting coffee for his wife.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just a simple thing. Simple thing. I want to, again, triple underscore. The person who doesn't, who just hears the word and doesn't do the word, will eventually, in that person's life, eventually will set up a culture of dishonesty in that person's life. I want to touch the matter of the Genesis face. This person who looks in the mirror and sees himself, herself, in the mirror, and turns and goes his or her own way. The scripture says, immediately, that person will do what? When that person turns and goes their own way, what happens to that person? They forget. Everybody say the word forget.
Forget.
They forget who they are. Natural face. The person looking in a mirror and a glass, looking at their face. Natural is the word in the King James. Their natural face. That word natural in the original Greek is the word Genesis. So now, get the picture. Here's a person, you, me. We're looking in a mirror. And we're seeing a face. What exactly, what face are we seeing? We're seeing our Genesis face. Now I want to make a distinction here by kind of opening up two lines of discussion. The distinction I want to make is the person who's accustomed to only seeing themselves in the natural will oftentimes only see themselves as a natural person. A natural man, a natural woman. See, here's the thing. Now, let me finish, and then I'll come back. The person who routinely, or who has a habit of seeing themselves as a son of God, that's the habit of this person's life. And that person, when that person looks in the mirror, that person is seeing Jesus shining back into them and upon them, and the standard becomes Son of God. I want to direct your attention to Matthew chapter 16. Not going to turn there, but direct your attention to Matthew chapter 16, in which we find verses 13 through about 20, where Jesus encounters the disciples with the question, "Who do men say? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And I want to remind you about parts of this language. First of all, Jesus is asking the question, obviously, "Who do men say?" So, you know, circle "men say," underscore "men say." Who do men say that I, circle "I," the Son of Man, circle "the Son of Man"? Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus was asking the disciples, who do they think I am? Knowing that their vantage point was the vantage point of man. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? They replied by saying, well, some are saying you're Jeremiah. Some are saying you're Isaiah. Some are saying you're one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Now watch this. The disciples had a different vantage point than men.
Right.
They've been walking with him. They've been listening to him. They've been beholding him. They've been looking at him in the mirror. And so when Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Peter responded by saying, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So I want to point out and wrap all of this into this discourse. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, no, you're the Son of God. We see you, I see you, as the Son of God, not just the Son of Man. Now, was Jesus Son of Man or Son of God?
Yes.
Who said it?
Yes.
Both. The choir over here. Three-part harmony.
So really, we see as we see ourselves. Really?
Say again?
Like we see as we see ourselves, which is so dangerous.
The philosophers would say it this way. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are.
That is so scary.
So our outlook, our worldview, is really determined by who we are. Yeah, it can be scary. Son of Man, Son of God.
What are you beholding?
What are you beholding? Why is that important? Because you become what you behold.
I bet you are.
I completely missed it.
I actually just put it on silent because I was afraid it was going to work. Yes, sir, you are lost.
Okay, here we are. Son of God. Son of Man. Are you Son of Man or are you Son of God?
Both.
Come on, everybody say both.
Both. Both.
You're not Son of Man, you're an alien. And we're going to have a prayer line for all of you aliens later, and Keith Denson's going to pray for you. No, you're Son of Man, but you're not just Son of Man. You're Son of God. Genesis face, natural. So the distinction is by people that are bent toward the natural, people whose lives are subsumed, immersed in things natural, whose habit is the natural, will very often fixate and focus on the natural parts of their life. Yeah.
And you can be really focused on the spiritual in some areas and tend to be more focused on the natural in other areas of your life.
That's true. It's a good point because there's so many moving pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And each and every one of our lives are so many moving pieces that it would be very common for one person to have really some... maybe some things, maybe many things spiritual dialed in, really dialed in, and other things not so dialed in. So, Genesis phase. Natural. Now, what's in a name? What is your name? Who are you? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself from a heavenly point of view? When you look in the mirror, and this passage goes on to say, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in that activity, that person is blessed in their work.
Genesis phase, the natural. We've been talking about the matter of the Ark of the Covenant and how that you were in Christ before. I'm going to get this out. Real important point. You were in Christ before the world was formed.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you.
According to the first chapter of the letter to the Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, Paul said that God chose you. Now listen. God picked you. Chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world. You were in Christ before you were here. You were in Christ before you were born in the natural. You were in Christ. And we've been talking about the matter of propitiation, or the mercy seat, the lid, the covering, the box top on the ark. And what was in the ark? What was in the deep? What was in God? Who were you? What did you look like? You were in there. But were you in there in an unformed condition, but you weren't in there in a frail condition. You weren't in there in an inferior condition. You were in Christ. You were in Christ. And the fullness of who you were meant to be, that's what you look like in Christ. Then you come here, then you say yes to Jesus, and you start this journey. What would we call that? We call that justification. We call that
sanctification.
You heard what Tom said in the last gathering. And glorification. So between receiving Jesus and this matter of glorification, that doesn't mean the glorified body after you die. That means the glory of God being revealed through your life while you're alive.
That's right.
Amen.
It means both. In the full measure, it's later. But in the day-to-day, it's the glory of God being revealed through you and out from you. In your life and in your world. Hey, you guys, I want to say something to y'all. It's Olin and Robin. And I may edit this out of the message to be posted online if you prefer it to be that way. But during worship, I saw you first, Olin. I saw you in the natural. I saw wings sprout from under your arms on both sides. And those wings began to come out, and they were getting larger, and I had the clearest sense that you would very soon be able to maneuver or fly, if you will, with those wings. And I saw that both of you, I actually saw both of you becoming winged in this next season. So, I know you guys are busy. I know you're responsible people. I'm saying to you now, stay focused in the coming season. The Lord intends to bring you into new experiences. The Lord intends to bring you into places of fulfillment spiritually that perhaps you haven't known before. I'm to say to you, you are not late. One of your enemies, one of the voices, one of the things that the enemy has been speaking over you is that you're behind the curve. You're late. You're running late. You should have by now. You already should be this or that. That's the voice of your enemy. You're to reject that voice. You're right on time. Everything that you've been through, everything you've been going through has been for your training and for your preparation. And you're not finished with preparation yet, but God is bringing you into a season of experience. in this time. So I just want to encourage you and just let the hope that the wind of the refreshing wind of the Holy Spirit will just blow across your life and infuse himself in your soul in such a way so that it gives you a new measure of courage, a new measure of fortitude and strength for the coming season. You're a good man, Ola. You're a good man. And the Lord wants you to be encouraged. God didn't call you as a backseat rider. God didn't call you as a backseat rider. God called you to be a leader in the house of God. See yourself that way. God's bringing you into that new place. Whether this month or next year, it's all the same to us. But don't see yourself. Don't look in the mirror and only see natural. Begin to focus. Begin to look with the intention of seeing Jesus shine back on your life in such a way that his glory will be revealed through your life day to day.
Confirmation. I never met you. Have I?
Never.
You never see me.
I confirm that with you.
Kim, in a nutshell, said the exact same thing in the car on the way here. Because there were two people when she was talking about that she wanted to see. And she elaborated a little bit. And that was, she said, I'm a late parent. You're a late parent? Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. See? She was talking about you. And she was saying, essentially, I've got goosebumps, the exact thing that you just said. Not the wings, but the message. That's so cool. I just want to share that with you.
The Lord is saying those things to you guys. So
yes,
be encouraged.
So awesome.
Give yourself permission to enjoy the life that God has given you.
Amen.
The Christian life is never only to be endured. It was always meant to be enjoyed.
Yes.
Give yourself permission to enjoy the days and enjoy the life that God has given you. So this Genesis face has to do with who you are, who you've always been meant to be. Every one of us. We came here with a specific design. Your spiritual DNA is unique to you. You make an awesome you. You make a lousy somebody else. Don't try to be me. They don't need two of me. Believe me. They don't need two of you. Be who you are. I'm gonna do my best to be who I am. And you bring things to the table that the body of Christ has to have. I bring things to the table that the body of Christ has to have. So God is doing a good work in you. He's going to complete it. He's going to finish it. Have faith in God. Genesis faith, looking in the mirror, being a doer of the word. This word natural has to do with nativity. It has to do with the language in the Webster's dictionary has to do with, or says, born with the being. Born with the being. You know, in Genesis, when God created plants, God formed, fashioned, and created plants to be able to regenerate. Whose seed was in itself. The seed is in you. God formed you and put his seed in you. And his seed is in itself. Your best days are ahead of you then. God's going to shift and alter and move your thinking around. And there's coming a time of alignment. You've been waiting for some things, and God is going to align things, even people, a variety of things are going to line up. And when they line up, you're going to actually see that they have now or at that time have become aligned, and you're going to know that it's time for you to take a step. So watch for that. You don't have to. There's no sound of the hammer in the temple. New Jerusalem comes down out of heaven as a completed city. This is a picture of how we receive a finished work in God. And you've been waiting, and you've been waiting, and you've been waiting. And I see a song of joy coming out of this season of waiting. A song of joy is going to break forth, and a melody of heaven that has to do with the joy of the Lord being your strength is going to break forth like a river out of you at the end of this season of waiting. So don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Amen. Continue to wait patiently and in a state of continual hope in the Lord. The Lord's going to do it. Don't sweat it. To both of you, I'm saying, don't sweat it. God's got you. God's got your future. Don't sweat it. So we're in this place of watching as the Lord is shining Himself back upon us. The Lord is shining Himself back upon us. And we're seeing Jesus, and then we look at us, and we say, well, now this, you know, this doesn't look quite like Jesus. So, okay, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I'm willing. Do your work in me.
Yeah.
Do your work. Do your will. Do what you will in my life. And part of what I've been seeing has to do with, it has to do with God bringing you into a place. God's bringing you into a place that, you know, someone asked me a long time ago, a young man asked me, said, do you believe in deja vu? I said, yes, I do. He was shocked because he was like into the other thing, right? I mean, you know, humanism and spiritual, whatever. Do you believe in deja vu? I said, I do. He said, you do? I said, yeah, but probably not like you. And he said, well, tell me what you believe. I said, oh, Jesus has already been in my tomorrow. And I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. So I've already been in my tomorrow. So when I get there, I've already been there. And when I put my foot down, where I've already put my foot down, and my foot matches my footprint. And I know I'm in the right place. Shot out of my back. I didn't say the shot out of my back. So I believe that eternity doesn't just mean the hereafter. Not the hereafter. Because if in fact it's eternal, it's yesterday, today, and not tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday, today, and forever. That comprises the eternal. It comprises eternity. So I'm not limited. My experience, my understanding is not limited only to time and space. So I want to encourage you about who you are. The Genesis face you. The person who was in Christ before the foundation of the world, you. That's the person that is the product of a completed transformation. See, you have a predestinated destiny. You were destined or predestinated to be conformed to the image of the Son of God.
Amen.
That's your destiny. God bless you.
Yes.
If part of what you do is this or that, you know, own a chain of grocery stores, or you're a quote-unquote stay-at-home mom, you know, we would call those domestic engineers, or you have a quote-unquote minister, guess what? So does she.
That's right.
The stay-at-homer has a ministry.
That's right.
That's right.
The go across the globe has a ministry. And if we all do the same thing, what happens to the rest of it? Nothing. I mean, most of it then gets neglected. So God, it takes the entire body of Christ to put fully on display the glory of God.
Amen.
So your part is vital.
That's right.
See yourself in the mirror, the perfect law of liberty. See yourself for the person that you are. There's more, but I think I'm going to stop.
No, keep going.
What's a month like?
No. Okay, so perfect law of liberty. Say that sentence again. See yourself. You get
May I share something?
I didn't hear that though.
Mike, can I share something?
Perfect law of liberty. See yourself. Go ahead.
See yourself by continuing to gaze into the perfect law of liberty. Here's another point. It's an encore.
Okay. Encore.
here's another point. Lot's wife.
Oh, goodness.
What happened to Lot's wife?
Yeah.
Why? What happened to her?
She
became a what? Okay. Because she what? Okay. How did she look?
With
a glance?
No, with wanting.
An over the shoulder? Watch this. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. Jesus said, "Come, follow me." And the disciples say, "Well, you know, we need full disclosure." Jesus, hold on, pull up, sit a while. We need you to convince us.
Oh. Is it gonna hurt?
That was the voice of experience. I know that voice. What's it going to cost us to follow you? It's going to cost you everything to follow me. Now, did Jesus pull up? Did Jesus turn aside to make sure to explain it all to them? Or did he keep moving? Jesus is moving. In the world today, in our life today, Jesus is moving. And all we need to decide, are we going to follow? Are we going? Are we going with no reservation? And if we are, then let's be about it. Here's the deal on Lot's wife. She didn't just glance back. She turned around and looked back with longing.
Amen.
And we often see people caught in this tangle of continually looking back and then looking forward and looking at the natural face and then looking at the perfect law of liberty, Genesis face, and back and forth and back and forth, and they become static. They become fixed in their life.
Stuck.
I'm not speaking to you, but I'm saying this is not unusual for the believers on our watch, many of the believers on our watch. So,
are we looking back at like parts of our lives that we want to return to, or that we're missing, or that are we denying where he's taking us?
Any or all of the above.
Yeah.
Any or all of the above. Some are looking back at a point or a place of loss, longing in such a way, turned in that direction in such a way that they can't see where the Lord is attempting and desiring to lead them now, today. Others are continuing to view the loss. One of the lies of the enemy is that the cross is loss.
Amen.
Cross is not loss. Cross is gain. And I really am going to stop there. Michael.
To underscore the original of being a hearer only and not a doer, Mark 16. And Jesus speaking to his disciples. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, which is roll away the deceiver, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then the Lord who hath been taken up unto heaven, he was received up into heaven, and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth, preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. We all hear this, and we have heard this. But how many people are casting out devils? How many are laying hands on the sick? I mean, like on a regular basis. Laying hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Whether it's one out of 100 recover, it's worth it. They shall do intercession. Remove the serpent of the deceiver. We are not, even though we've heard it, the word of God, out of his lips, we've heard it. We know it here. But in our hearts, we need to be willing to lay down our lives. What will people think? What will people do? Or whatever. And just do what he said believers will do. If you're a true believer, you will go forth, speak with new tongues, lay hands on the sick, deliver those that are in deception. That is the doing of the gospel.
Being a doer of the word.
A doer of the word instead of just a hearer only. And we have a tendency, well, it's okay. If I don't. No. Okay is not, it's not good enough. Obedience is good enough.
That's good. Key.
I want to add a concise part of what Michael was sharing this morning. I was sharing with someone earlier. We've got to be careful of the media trying to change the way you're thinking and who you are. The media is a deception. It's going on too strong and too much. They're trying to change the way we think and who we are. Michael confirmed that today very emphatically. It's an important point. Another word I'd like to say too, if you're not familiar with G4 and G5, that's coming along with communications on Facebook, etc., it's a very dangerous next step in technology.
G4, G5.
Okay, G5.
Generation 5.
Oh, Generation 5.
It's a mind-controlled situation.
Internet.
Just be aware of it. You would start to see a lot more of it.
Your cell phone is going to be G5. That's your cell phone. You're buying the new
Gretchen.
I was going to say, being a doer sometimes, too, is being patient. Or not being fearful, not being anxious. So it's not always, actually doing. It's, doing the work. And the other thing is when you were talking about the mirror, and I know this is what you said, but I really got this thing, oh my goodness. It's like when you look in that mirror, you see God, how God sees you. That's what you're saying, and
yeah.
You are saying it.
Yeah.
That's what you see. And as you turn away, you just see the way you see. So looking in the mirror is seeing it the way God sees you.
Good. Good. Very good. Daniel.
Yeah, this is very refreshing. But as also on the other side, if you're listening, the Bible says or talks about fear over 365 times in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. So, like every day there's a word, again, it's fear. In the Bible, all the discussion you guys know to be up. But one of the things that limits us or inhibits us from executing what you hear from him is fear. So when fear attacks you, you're taken away. But as soon as I entered in here, I always play before I look at anybody. And I'm like, God, what do you got for me right here? When do I help you for anything? So he showed me a lady in a house burning. And the house was burning, and I hung to a half, but she was kind of enjoying it. Herself in the house burning, and then I'm like, God, what is this? You know, of course, you know, you would take it quickly to the speech and rain problem. That's the Holy Spirit around the house, you know. But he went ahead and gave me an engraved, wonderful font, which says, "This is your house. Take it on." Those words, and I kind of read it several times, you know, to plant it to my heart. And then when the word comes up, this is God is speaking to us, you know, regardless of what situation you're going through, let it be any kind of illness or you have prescription, you believe in those prescriptions very well from the doctors, or let it be children or relationships that are going on, don't look at the fire of the house.
Yeah.
Don't look at what you already believe in, you know, they told you you got to do this to keep going. Just look at it. Look at what he can do. He owns the house. He owns even the fire that's going
on. The house.
Amen. You can keep going, you know, and it will make you overcome that fire that's burning around.
Wonderful. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
A great day. I think we'll be dismissed and.
I think we're ending a little early, aren't we?
Well,
we're really, it's just only 12:30. I'm thinking we're a little quick here today.
Here's the word of dismissal. Go ahead.
Now elaborating, when I hear the word do, I right away think of a law. And that's bad news for us, because you don't do it by the law, we go like this. So when it says, don't be hearers only, but be doers also, apart from him, you can do nothing.
Yeah.
Be led by the Spirit.
That's a very good admonition, and one that we should always remember. Amen?
Amen.
Well, Father, we love you and thank you so much, and we are glorying in your presence. We're glad for you. We're glad in you. We ask you, Lord, just to continue to unfold and reveal for each of us how you would have us walk this out, how you would have us go in the will of the Lord. Thank you for each family, each person. Strengthen us with mind and the inner man so we can continue to run our race with consistency. These things we pray according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.
Oh,
thank you.